Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to speak today about the reading that we just heard from the Gospel of John. And this is part of chapter 10, where Jesus talks about being the Good Shepherd. And I'm going to talk to you about how maybe we can be good sheep. Since we have a good shepherd, how we can be good sheep. And maybe part of that is something called humility. So we'll talk about that in a minute. So I recently saw, this is really old news, but I saw an interview. It was on something else I was watching, and this person is presenting an old interview by a guy named Christopher Hitchens. I don't know, does anybody know Christopher Hitchens? Yeah, okay. So he was a famous British-American journalist. He died, what, about 15 years ago, do you think?
I think he died about a dozen years ago.
Okay, yeah, died about a dozen years or so ago. And I didn't really pay much attention. The one article that I read by him, as I recall, is an article that he wrote describing what a horrible human being Mother Teresa was. So that kind of tells you where he's coming from. He was a very, very devout atheist. And was very suspicious of other people's motivations, and felt that Mother Teresa must be doing all of this for some nefarious reason or other. It couldn't just be straightforwardly caring for the sick. She must have some kind of, bad motives. So anyway, I just remember that. I remember that about him. And then he died, as we were saying, 10 to 15 years ago. And while he was dying, this is the interview. While he was dying. Somebody's interviewing him, and they go, so what do you do with the fact that people say that they're praying for you? And he goes, well, it kind of depends. He said, I'll ask them, like, why are you praying for me? And if they say, well, I'm praying for you to get better, he would say, well, thanks for your prayers. They're obviously not working, so, you're welcome. And then the other thing is, he said, but if they are praying for my conversion, that I will come to know the Lord before I die, then thanks, but no thanks. Because what I think you're doing is I think that you are preying on my weakness. I'm at the weakest point in my life, and you're preying on my weakness, and you just want me to be converted so you will feel better about yourself. Because if I'm converted, this famous atheist, then you'll feel better about yourself being a Christian. Okay. And I don't know, to be fair, maybe there are people like that. Maybe they'd go, oh yeah, one for our team. Look at that. We got him before he died, and so one for our team. Maybe there are people like that. I don't know, might be. But it's a pretty severe reaction when you think about it. It's kind of like, well, yeah, I don't really believe what you believe about it, but oh, okay, anyway. But this is kind of like this strident rejection, right? So he reminds me of, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, I was watching Moby Dick a few weeks ago. Have I mentioned Moby Dick lately? Because I'm obsessed with Moby Dick currently. But anyway, I'm watching Moby Dick, and Gregory Peck, if you remember this, you've ever seen it. It's also Wrath of Khan, Star Trek 2, same story. Watching Moby Dick, and there's Captain Ahab, right? And Captain Ahab is this whaling captain, and he has his crew. He's got this ship that he's responsible for caring for, but he's got a missing leg because it's been taken by the great white whale, right? And he is driven by his obsessive hatred of the great white whale, right? Who, in the story, symbolizes God, or at least his perception of God, a God who is unjust, but God nonetheless. And he is obsessed with him. He's obsessed with his hatred for God. To the point where he's willing to sacrifice everything and everyone around him, his crew, everything else, just to try and bring down his enemy. And there's this great line, quoted in both these movies, which is this. He says, and it's just before, I think it's the scene just before he finds him and tries to harpoon him. And he says this, from hell's heart, I stab at thee, For hate's sake, I spit my last breath at thee. You're going, that's strong feelings he has there. It's not just, well, I want justice. It's this visceral hatred that consumes everything else. Reminds me a little bit of Christopher Hitchens. Even with his last breath, this kind of, not just indifference, but a kind of a real, almost hatred that seemed to drive him. John 10, which is the story of the Good Shepherds, continues. It's, we have this part, we have the part where Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd, my sheep know me, and I know my own, but then it continues. And it provides the setting for John chapter 10, which is that it's the Feast of the Dedication. The Feast of the Dedication also can be translated as the Feast of the Renewal. And what it's celebrating is this. Back in the day, a few hundred years before the Syrian Greeks, have conquered Jerusalem, and they've done the one thing that you cannot do, and that is they have gone into the Holy of Holies, and they have, you know, the holy place where the Ark of the Covenant is, and they have replaced it with a statue of the god Baal. So that is the ultimate blasphemy and the ultimate expression of God's people and the ultimate hatred of God, of the God of God's people, to go in there and commit this act of sacrilege. It's an act of hatred. And so this is the setting. And Jesus is says, I am the good shepherd. And at the Feast of Renewal, just as you've just heard, but then you have the reaction of the religious leaders, right? They've heard all this. He's not saying anything unpleasant or provocative. He's simply saying is, they speak of God as the good shepherd himself. You've been longing for the good shepherd all this time. You've been waiting for the Messiah to come. You're waiting for God to return to the temple. You've been waiting for this for hundreds of years. You've seen me. You've seen me heal the blind. You've seen me care for the sick and the downtrodden. You've seen me perform miracles. You've heard how I speak, which is this. The essence of Jesus' speech in the Gospel of John is this. I love you and I want to be with you. That's the essence of it. And he said, well, everything you've wanted is here now. And their response is, it drives them crazy. The fact that he is here speaking to them drives them crazy. It reminds me, and I've quoted this before, a theologian by the name of Juan Segundo, who says, it wasn't that people didn't want the kingdom of God to come, it's they didn't want it to come now, right? Because theoretically it's a good thing, but if the kingdom of God comes now, that means, there might be some changes I have to make in the present. And so you see this, like it's their response is an immediate rejection. John Calvin says, unbelief is the mother of rage. So in their, what's revealed in their hearts is they didn't really want it. They didn't really want it. They said they wanted it, but they didn't really want it. Why don't they really want it? The usual reasons is, I kind of enjoy being the center of reality myself, you know? I kind of like being the center of things. I kind of like maybe secretly thinking, maybe I'm kind of, maybe not a God, maybe not the God, but a God, something like that. And to be confronted with the fact, here I am, rejoice, it just creates rage. I mean, what Jesus is saying here is what he says in the book of Revelation, and that is, behold, I make all things new, and they're going, no thanks. I'm fine just the way I am. The problem, again, quoting Calvin, is the problem is not that he is not a shepherd. The problem is that they are not sheep. So I was baptized at the age of 21, and I thought I knew some things about Christianity, but I don't really think I knew very much. But I learned some things very quickly when I became a Christian. you know, other than, yeah, no, nobody, you know, I don't go sit in front of the church, or I don't know, or don't stake somebody's pew, whatever, all these things. I learned three things very quickly. One is that Book of Psalms is wonderful spiritual guide for us. I learned when we say Jesus is present, and you personally present in the Eucharist, it's really actually true. And the other thing I learned is the thing at the center of Christian life is this: it's humility. That's at the center of Christian life, is humility. To say, you are God, I am not God, and that's a wonderful thing. In fact, kneeling before the presence of God in a state of complete humility is extremely liberating. I didn't know that before. That's what I learned from being a Christian, the absolute importance of humility. So the thing that struck me about this woman who was presenting this interview of Christopher Hitchens was, she's looking at this, she's looking at his response, and she goes, yeah, I totally get that. I get saying to people who are praying for you to be converted, going, leave me alone, or to God himself, leave me alone. And I'm going, yeah, it sounds like sophisticated or something, like you're philosophically sophisticated, but really, how is that any different than being a 14-year-old and saying, you're not the boss of me? Which is basically what it comes down to. Just, you're not the boss of me. So how can we be, if Jesus is a good shepherd, how can we be good sheep? And I think the essence of what we see in the Gospel of John is this: to be humble. How do we become humble? Well, humility is a gift from God. It is a gift from God that we can practice. It requires patience. It requires openness. But when we're in that place, just remember this yourself from your own prayer. When you're in that place, when you're in the presence of God, and you feel, I don't need to be in control of the universe, you feel completely humble before God, and it feels so right, and you just say, this is the place I want to be. That's something we can practice. That's a gift from God, something that we can practice throughout our lives on a daily basis. It's a gift. Humility, it's a gift we can also practice day by day. Jesus is the good shepherd. We can be good sheep. He will make us good sheep. He will give us the gift of humility rather than arrogance. And let us practice the supreme joy of being his sheep. Let's just pray together for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, and that we can admit before you that we don't know everything, we can't control everything, but that we can trust in you, Lord, to guide us and lead us and to love us so deeply. Give us the gift of not having a bad sense of ourselves, but of just genuine openness and humility before you, so that we can accept your love and your guidance. And give us the grace to practice this humility before you and with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for this gift, and we offer this prayer in your name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.